Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Welcome to Discovering Journeys, and I'm your host, Sujala, where we explore diverse journeys. Imagine watching someone you love slowly fade while learning how to keep showing up for them and for yourself. Today's guest, Nancy Chester, knows firsthand the heartbreak and resilience that come with caregiving. After her husband was diagnosed with primary progressive aphasia, a rare form of dementia, her world shifted. What followed was a deeply personal caregiving journey that expanded when she also cared for her father-in-law through Alzheimer's. Now, a certified caregiving consultant and co-founder of The Caregiver's Journey, Nancy supports others walking this path with practical strategies, deep empathy, and surprising mindset shifts that make the impossible feel possible. In this conversation, she opens up about the raw challenges, daily wins, and the unexpected gifts of caregiving. This episode tells you to cherish the smallest moments in our lives. Let's begin. Hello, Nancy. Welcome to my podcast, and I'm so happy to have this conversation with you today.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it and look forward to the conversation.
Your caregiving journey started 9 years ago. So can you take us to that moment and also share how would those early days look like for you?
My husband was diagnosed with something called frontotemporal dementia, which, within frontotemporal dementia, there are lots of different, several different kinds. And his was called aphasia, which basically means that he had trouble with his language. So we had been watching, just knowing there was more trouble. You know, some of it is, you think, is age related. And so you kind of don't take it very seriously. But then there becomes a point where it's like, you know, something else is going on here. So we had to go to multiple neurologists to get a proper diagnosis. But when we did get a proper diagnosis, at first it was kind of a relief because finally someone had diagnosed something that we could understand and get our arms around. So at first there's some relief, and then it takes, actually dementia is a long journey. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And so my husband just passed about 4 weeks ago.
Sorry for your loss.
Thank you. We were about 10 years into this process, which is about the average lifespan for a man with dementia. And we, you know, for a couple of years, he was able to continue to do things on his own a lot. I found myself behind the scenes supporting, you know, with things that he didn't really appreciate or understand. But there is a place where it starts to get really messy. I call that the messy middle. So at first I was really just supporting him and trying to stay ahead of the game in terms of what might be the next thing that could go wrong. And then there's a place in the process or in the journey, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes, where you're not just supporting, you're taking control. And that's when all hell breaks loose because they're just not ready for someone to take control. And so it becomes very difficult at that point. So I'd say a lot of relief at the beginning with a diagnosis, a little bit of status quo for the next couple of years. And then it made its way into, I would say, traditional dementia caregiving, but very, very difficult in the middle in terms of how you have to deal with someone with dementia.
In your own words, could you explain what is dementia and shed some light on this? They only think that people lose memory. That's the only understanding for majority.
Yes, there are lots of different types of dementia. And in the world, there are about 11 million people, 55 million people living with dementia. In the U.S., 11 million people living with dementia. And the expectation, and now dementia is actually a symptom of a diagnosis of Alzheimer's or Lewy bodies or frontotemporal or vascular dementia. There are lots of different types of dementia. Those are sort of the high level, most common types. And some of them and the reason they're different types is they start in different places in your brain. So some start at in your frontotemporal, which is where my husband started. And so they can affect language first. If you have Alzheimer's, that's the last place that gets affected. Actually, people with Alzheimer's can talk all the way till the very late stages, and then they start to lose language. Theirs starts very strong on the memory side. So where and what the symptoms are of dementia are very different depending on the type of dementia someone has. So if you are with a loved one and you think something is changing and you're concerned about what's changing, and especially if they're, you know, over 55, some of the dementias hit early, like 55 to 65. Most of the dementias hit later in life, over 70. But if you're concerned about something, definitely sooner rather than later, go to your general practitioner and discuss what's going on, because some things mimic dementia, confusion, memory loss, and they're simply vitamin B deficiencies. Or a UTI for someone who's older causes confusion and memory loss, a urinary tract infection. So there's so many things that look like dementia that actually can be fixed. So definitely if you see hints of something, you know someone's not right. Normally they say it's the person who's closest to them that knows. Definitely get to the doctor and have the open conversation with the doctor about what's going on.
You have said that caregiving challenges our natural instinct. That is such an intriguing thought. Can you explain what you mean by that, please?
What happens with caregiving, especially dementia caregiving, which is really the only kind of pure caregiving that I know about. My father had Parkinson's for 25 years, so a little bit about that. But mostly my focus is on dementia caregiving. Your natural instincts at the beginning are to try to keep things the way they are and as normal as possible. And you find yourself early in the journey focusing on how things used to be. And that's your natural instinct. So when they come out of, when you tell them it's time to go get dressed, and they come out of the bedroom and they've got their bathrobe on and they think they're dressed, you're literally just so shocked you don't know what to do. Like, what just happened? I mean, you know they have dementia, but the little early things that happen are absolutely shocking. So your natural instinct is, well, you're not dressed. Go back in there and get dressed. You know, you need to put your clothes on. So it's your natural instincts are really to live in the past and to not find a comfortable place in the reality of today. So the best thing I think you can do as someone who's dealing with dementia is to try to stay in the current moment. Understand that things are going to progress and ignore your instinct to try to keep things the same and try to create a new normal of accepting things where they are today. And today they may not know how to put their clothes on. Tomorrow they might know how to put their clothes on again. Eventually, they're not going to know how to put their clothes on. And that's actually what my business partner and I's podcast is about, is we talk about things like bathing and dressing. And we start with what happens at the beginning and what are the signs you need to look for that says this is progressing to something that you need to get involved with. Because I think if people realize what's coming, they can be much more understanding and you're just not nice. That's the net. You're not nice to the person. You're frustrated because they didn't put their clothes on. Instead of finding a calm, accepting place in your heart to say, this is what's happening. This is where they are. Let me meet them where they are and say, you know what? Let's go get your clothes and we'll try again together. You know, finding that place makes that where you accept where things are makes you a much, much better caregiver. And it makes their experience, because you have to put yourself in their shoes. They're frustrated because now you're mad because they didn't put their clothes on. They're frustrated. You make them more upset because you're upset, instead of calm and happy about, okay, no big deal. We're going to go put clothes on. So natural instincts are to keep things where they are and to continuously sort of wish for the past. And instead, you've got to find the guts, if you will, to get into where to get into the current situation and accept it and help them in their new reality.
Does explaining to them or asking them something to express, is it easy?
Depends on the type of dementia. So Alzheimer's, which 70% of dementia is Alzheimer's. So let's take that. Most people with Alzheimer's can express themselves fairly well through the process. They forget, their short-term memory goes pretty quickly. So a good example is, you know, if someone's got Alzheimer's or actually any kind of dementia, don't test them. A lot of people like to test them because they're curious. You know, what's your birthday? You know, what's our telephone number? Do you know my name? So people with dementia, that's very frustrating, because especially if they don't know. Now you can slide it in if you're trying to figure out what they do and don't know and say, oh, I need to write our telephone number down. Can you tell me what it is? Something where you're not coming at them and testing them, you know? So, but most people with Alzheimer's can express themselves all the way to the end.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com. For details.
In terms of telling you what's wrong, my husband had frontotemporal dementia. He lost his language capabilities pretty early and could not express himself. But I'll tell you what's really sweet is there was plenty of times, even towards the end in the last couple of years, where he would laugh and smile. He couldn't tell you anything, but I think somewhere in there, he was trying to let us know, I'm still in here. You know, I'm still in here. And you would do something, he would laugh, not because it was funny, but as soon as he'd start laughing, we'd start laughing. So, you know, he just wanted you to know he was happy that he was there and happy you were there and just trying to do the best he could to communicate.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think that's what you'll remember.
Yes, you're exactly right.
Balancing caregiving with other responsibilities of the day and life throws at you is... it's a common challenge, plus it is overwhelming and exhausting. So what were the few things you did or figured out while you were navigating this whole part?
I agree. I would say that is probably next to not accepting what the current situation is, which is something you have to get in your own mind. You have to get there, but the sooner you get there, the more at peace you'll be. So that's huge. But probably the second biggest thing is what you just brought up, which is understanding that when you walk in that doctor's office and you get a diagnosis of some type of dementia, if you're the primary caregiver, the diagnosis is really for both of you. Your care receiver got a diagnosis of, let's say, Alzheimer's. You just got a diagnosis of being a caregiver. And when caregiving, your responsibilities are to caregive for that person, absolutely. But your responsibilities are also to caregive for you. Both people have to be, you have to caregive for both of you through the entire journey. And that's not, and there's no option. Or you will completely fall apart and you'll be a mean caregiver. You'll have a nervous breakdown. You'll be depressed. None of that is going to help your care receiver or your loved one. So from day one, the sooner you accept the fact that caregiving, you're now responsible for caregiving for two people, your loved one and you, then you give yourself permission. Number one, give yourself permission to do things that bring you joy or happiness or peace of mind. So as soon as you realize it's a team sport, I'm caregiving for two people, that gives you, give yourself permission to do things that are for you. So you have to have other people to support you. Even if it's, I'm going to go to a cooking class tonight, getting a friend or a family member or a professional caregiver to come over and stay with your loved one while you go do something for you. It is absolutely required. It's not an option. And then when you think about caregiving, think about self-care broadly. Self-care isn't just going and exercising. It's not just going on a vacation. It could be, I need to create some peace of mind because I'm not doing a very good job cleaning my desk off or paying the bills. So maybe the way you caregive for yourself today is you carve out 30 minutes to go by yourself and clean your desk off and pay your bills, because self-care is as much about peace of mind as it is about doing things that bring you joy or energy. So just something to keep in mind. Self-care is just as important for you as it is for everything you do for your care receiver every day.
What was the most difficult part of your entire journey? You found it hard to accept and try to, you know, figure out a solution for it.
I would say that was dealing with delusions. And that's very common in dementia. People think the people on the TV are real. My husband used to want to invite them to come over for dinner, and he'd want to wait on dinner until they got there. And that was, it's very common for people to want to go home, even though they're in their home. What they really mean is their childhood home, because they don't recognize where they are. They don't recognize who you are, and you're a stranger, and they're scared, and they're not at home. So you're back to natural instincts. Your natural instincts are to try to convince them you are at home. I am your wife. The people are not coming over for dinner. They're on the TV. The TV's not real. You know, those are natural instincts, and you have to throw those out the door and get to the point where you can be an actress or an actor. And as soon as you get that little inkling of, I want to go home, instead of convincing them they're not home, you say, well, you know, that's got to be pretty frustrating, you know, that you can't get home. How about we get in the car, and do you mind if we stop at the grocery store first before we go? And you go to the grocery store and you walk around and you buy something, you drive back to your house, 90% chance when you get back home, they think they're home. They're good. So dealing with delusions was very hard, because it's very hard to figure out. It's very hard to not fight with them and try to convince them. And it's very hard to accept that they have no idea who you are, and that they're scared. And your job is to actually just calm them down and get through the delusion to the other side. And that to me is one of the most difficult ones. And Sue and I, our podcast, we try to keep our podcast to about 25 minutes. The one on delusions is 38 minutes long, because there is so much to unpack to help people to get through the delusion process. And frankly, if you haven't had delusions yet with your care receiver and you're dealing with someone with dementia, listen to it so that you're ready the first time it happens, as opposed to getting frustrated and making a really bad situation out of one, a worse situation out of one that's bad to begin with. Better to be prepared and know what to do when it happens, because it's a shock.
Yeah. And you don't have a pattern for a delusion, I suppose. So it can be just like a surprise package, and you need to be equipped to handle that delusion. Maybe it has never come in the last 3 months, but it's like a new thing. I think that is quite challenging.
It's very challenging, but once you get how to handle it, you can handle it almost all the time, but you need to be prepared, to your point. And so better prepared and never have a delusion than, and which is very uncommon, but better to be prepared than to be unprepared, because it will, it just brings you to your knees when it happens.
I would like to hear what inspired you and your partner, Sue, to caregiver's journey.
So Sue's husband, first her father and her husband both had dementia at the same time. Her husband, her dad went first. Her dad was first and passed away first. And then her husband got diagnosed with dementia. And he passed away the summer before we started our podcast. And she came up to visit. She was someone we worked with, my husband and I, and she was also our neighbor. And she came up to visit. She lives in Florida in the U.S. and I live in Georgia in the U.S. And she came up to visit us. And we were talking about how frustrating it is to not know how not be able to just find quick answers to common dementia day-to-day caregiving challenges, like bathing and dressing and how to handle delusions. There's some stuff that's written, it's mostly high level. And so when you read it, it really, you can read it, but it's hard to absorb it, because you're just reading something and it's a one pager, maybe two, on a topic. So she had already written a book on caregiving and she had written an online course on caregiving. And she said, well, you know, what if we start a podcast focused on practical tips for day-to-day dementia caregiving? And let's give tips and also tell stories. So what we do is they're typically about 25 minutes, like I said. We pick a topic like bathing and dressing or managing delusions or incontinence, and we talk about the topic. And then we have it's very tip oriented. Tip one, do this. Tip two, do this. Tip three, do that. And with each tip, we tell a story about either how we learned that was the right way to do it, or how, what we did wrong, or how it worked really well for one of us. Taking away the keys. That's a big deal in most dementia caregiving scenarios. They're still driving, and at what point do you take away the keys? Sue was able to do it very easily with her husband. I, on the other hand, had a very difficult time. So that episode talks about, here's how Sue did it. Try this first. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, here's the fallback position. Do this next, do this next, do this next, and here's how you finally get over the line. So we just wanted to prepare or help the world of dementia family caregivers be able to deal with these situations in a clear, practical way. And about 40% of our audience is in the U.S. and about 60% is outside the U.S. So we have really large followings in places that have English as a first language or English as a second language. So I feel like we're able to impact people around the world. So we try not to focus on U.S. issues, but on general dementia caregiving issues.
Yeah, that is so much needed. But if you have to compare, like in the last decade, do you feel the tools or the resources, has it improved quite a lot, or is it very slow improving? Hey listener, thank you for tuning into Discovering Journeys. If you are enjoying this conversation, I would love for you to take a quick moment to follow the podcast on Instagram. So you never...
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Miss these incredible stories and learnings. Also, please consider sharing it with a friend or leaving a review, as it goes a long way in helping more people discover this podcast. Now, let's get back to the conversation.
I think it has improved, and I think there's a lot more focus on even trying to get practical tips out there. When I first started, there was nothing. Now there's at least high level things you can find acknowledging that, you know, caregivers need help for dementia support. And so it has definitely gotten better. There's a 6-month trial here in the US that Medicare is doing called Dementia Caregiving Guide. And they're trying to provide support for dementia caregivers. And they're doing a test in different cities on how they can provide support for day-to-day dementia caregiving challenges. The population of people with dementia is going to double between now and 2060. Therefore, the population of dementia caregivers is going to double unless we can prevent dementia, which is also being researched and worked on quite extensively, which is good. There are new drugs that are for people who are early in their diagnosis that can help reduce the symptoms and extend the life of someone with dementia. There's been a lot of progress with that. There's 3 drugs now for Alzheimer's. That's all in the last couple of years. So it is definitely got more, it definitely has more focus, but that's because if you think about it from all of the governments in the world, if dementia is going to double between now and 2060, there's a new study just came out in January, so earlier this month, that says 42% of people over 55 will get dementia.
Whoa.
Think about the volume of people that the governments have to deal with in terms of how to take care of them and the insurance and expense that's going to occur if there's not a way to stop that. By 2060, it's going to double from 500,000 people a year being diagnosed with dementia to 1 million people a year being diagnosed with dementia. Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, these statistics are quite staggering. I mean,
it is. Someone with dementia is not mentally capable of even asking for help. So, you know, it's one thing if you have cancer and you need to be caregiver for, at least you know you can ask for help and you've got the mental capacity to go find help or at least do something to try to help yourself. If you have dementia, 81% of people with dementia don't even know they have dementia. So they can't recognize it. They don't know it. They don't accept it. They might get a diagnosis and you can tell them all day long they've got dementia, but 81% of people, there's a condition that they don't know they have dementia, even after they've been diagnosed. So think of it's just, you know, very difficult situation. It's got to be supported in a better way. And there's a lot of work to try to make that happen.
Yeah, I think there is a huge gap with all the respects, right? Educating the primary caregivers, the financial support, trying to minimize, reduce medicines. There are so many aspects to look for. Wow.
You're right.
Sounds scary. <You're> right. The statistics doesn't help.
No, it doesn't. It really does sound scary. And so chances are if you're going to find yourself as a dementia caregiver for a grandparent, for a parent, you know, somewhere along the line, it's 42% chance dementia is going to hit your family. I can almost not talk. I think I've talked to one person when I tell them what I'm doing now that I retired that has said, oh, well, I haven't had to deal with dementia. Almost every single person I talk to says, oh, we've had that in my family. You know, my grandparent had it, or one of my parents has it, or something. Someone somewhere in your family is probably dealing with it, and there's someone who's a dementia caregiver. So please push them to listen to the podcast so they can start to at least get the knowledge they need and the confidence they need. We also focus on being positive. You know, we tell stories, and some of them are horrific, like I've told you, but we make sure that in the end, and we get a lot of comments from our listeners where they say, you know, this made me feel like I can handle it. I can handle it. You know, and we try to make sure that we're telling people what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, how they can handle it, and encouraging so that in the end, they come out of listening saying, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. I can't stop it from happening, but I'm ready when it does.
I think being prepared and being knowledgeable really goes a long way. Coming to this point, these kind of conversations between the caregivers, how hard it is, it just happens, you know, within the closed doors.
Yes, you're right.
So how do you think we can break this mold of, it is like, okay, like if you're a griever or if you're a caregiver, you just have to meet those kind of people to have an open dialogue. apart from that, it is like people feel so uncomfortable. It is not enough support system as a society, because sometimes even the caregivers need a kind of a fallback on, not for a long period of time, maybe just somebody to listen to or just somebody to acknowledge.
Agree.
So how do you think we can create a more space in this regard?
I think there is a lot more that can be done. But I also think one of the first things that happens when you get that dementia diagnosis, most people, me included, don't even think about that they're a caregiver now. So you're not even researching caregiver. You're researching dementia. You want a PhD in the diagnosis your loved one just got. So you're researching whatever they've got diagnosed with, trying to learn as much as you can. But you're not thinking about you're a caregiver now, because if you can research dementia caregiver, now you'll find a lot more specific resources to help you. There is a fabulous online support group called Dementia Care Support. It's a Facebook group that people just go on there. It's got 70,000 members. People just go on there. They ask questions. They vent. Sometimes, like you said, they just need somebody to listen to them. So I would say do as much research as you can, but remember to use the word caregiver or care, because you'll miss so much if you don't realize that you're a caregiver. You'll learn a lot about dementia, but not much about being a caregiver. But there is a lot more that can be done. And frankly, a lot of people are trying to tell their stories and trying to help with podcasts like the one you have, try to help make sure we get the word out that they're for the support that is out there, because, you know, people can't even find what's out there today, I think, very well. And we want to make sure they can find it.
What are some myths you have heard about dementia and its caregivers that you want people to know?
You know, I think that it's always, probably the biggest myth is that it's just a miserable process. And, you know, as a dementia caregiver, you're just going to be miserable through the whole thing. And it is a shocking process, and it's very difficult. And it's very difficult, much more difficult until you get to that point where you have massive acceptance of what your journey is for both of you. So if you can get to that point where I went through a caregiver consulting training. It was before I started the podcast. Sue and I started the podcast. I wanted to be more educated on caregiving consulting. So I'm a certified caregiver consultant. So it was a 70-hour course on how to help caregivers. And in the course, she defines caregivers in different stages. So there's the freshman caregiver, you're just learning. You know, there's the entrenched caregiver, you're in the middle of the messy middle, and, you know, it's very difficult. And there's the pragmatic caregiver. The pragmatic caregiver is the one who has accepted the situation and is now able to be the best caregiver they can be without all of the stress and strain that goes with it. So I think the myth being that it's not possible to get there, it really is. If you can get to the place where you accept what's happening and you look at you accept those smiles, those smiles and that laughing, like I said, my husband couldn't talk. But you accept those smiles and laughing as moments to treasure and be present in those moments and not let them pass by and try to get to the next thing already that's going to go wrong. You know, you can make the caregiving experience something that you look back on and you appreciate the experience and how much you grew as a person through that experience and how much love and support you were able to give your care receiver to make their journey as good as possible. So it can come out the other side as a positive experience for you and a positive experience for your care receiver. But, you know, some people never get there because they can't get to that acceptance place. Mm.
During this whole journey, was there moments of surprise or moments of joy or connection?
Definitely. I think, you know, another thing I tell people is don't talk about your care receiver in front of them. don't do it. So there are people, you know, they think because their care receiver's not really talking that they don't understand what other people are saying. And so they'll have a whole conversation about their diagnosis, about their situation, about all the bad things that are happening. Don't do that because you never know what your care receiver is internalizing and when they're having a moment of clarity where they're there. So I'll tell a quick story, a Sue story, because it's interesting, and then I'll come back to something about my husband. But Sue's husband was in memory care. She put him in a care community and he was in memory care and not really, you know, able to have a conversation and certainly not able to, you know, have an intelligent conversation about a topic. But he was sitting in the care community and two nurses were discussing a business problem that they were having. And they were having this long discussion about the business problem. And after a little while, Sue's husband went up to them and they said, he said, here's what you should do. Blah, 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 blah. And they said, it was perfect advice. It was exactly what we were talking about. It was exactly what we should do. And neither one of them would have guessed in a million years that this man was, but he was having a moment of clarity and he heard what they were talking about and he was able to help them. So just something to keep in mind. My husband, because he lost his language skills very early, he would say, he'd walk around the corner and just have a big smile on his face. And he would look me straight in the eyes and he'd say, I like. And he meant, I like you, I love you, you know, because he couldn't even pick the right words. And I would say, I love you too. So, you know, just appreciate those moments and use them to fuel your caregiving for the times when they're not happening.
Yeah, beautiful. What advice would you give a person who is new to this caregiving journey they have recently heard? What are the first few steps they can take?
First is remember you're a team and your new job is as caregiver is to caregive for two people, yourself and your care receiver. Number one, most important thing that you can do. Number two, is really communication style. Early on, you get really frustrated with all the things they can't do, coming out with their bathrobe on, not remembering something that you told them to do. Put on there, when you're frustrated and upset, remember, think of this as the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Put yourself in their position. If you're mad because they came out with their bathrobe on and you come at them about that, think how frustrated and frightened they must be because they didn't understand how to put their clothes on. And now you're mad and they don't even understand why. So put yourself in their shoes all the time, as much as you can. Put yourself in their shoes and think, I just came out. I didn't get dressed. How would I want someone to treat me if this happened? And watch your body language. The words might come out nice, but make sure your facial expression is calm and smile and be happy and say, oh, you know what? Let's go back in and maybe pick some other clothes because it's going to be cold today. Or, you know, try to put yourself in their shoes all the time. And think how the first time they're incontinent and they don't get to the bathroom fast enough and your carpet's wet, you know, because they had an accident. Don't get mad and frustrated because your carpet's wet. Think how embarrassing that must be for them and how frightening it must be that they couldn't figure out how to get to the toilet in time. And try to just be as calm and nice as you can be and treat them the way you would want to be treated if you were the person with dementia. And it took me a while to get to that place. But once I got to that place, I used that lens absolutely through, I would call the second half of my caregiving journey all the time. It's a great way to help you make decisions about medication, about whether you want to fight about something with them or whether you just let it roll. You know, there's a lot of let it roll. Let's say they came out and they've got a purple top on and black and white striped pants. And you're like, that's the craziest looking outfit I've ever seen. Let it go. No one cares. Of the important things you have to deal with, no one cares. They're dressed. Call it a good day. They got dressed correctly. And let's go out to lunch. You know, don't sweat those things. Let it go. The sooner you can let those things go, the better.
Yeah. Not getting fixated on the simple things and try to look at a bigger picture.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Treat them the way you'd want to be treated and just let it go.
What is one thing which has helped you massively in your journey?
I would say do unto others as you would have them do unto you is probably the one thing that in my heart helped me more than anything, is putting myself in his shoes or in my father-in-law's shoes and trying to make sure that they were treated with the same level of respect that, and even through when they go through an aggressive phase, even when they're in that aggressive phase, treating them with respect helped me feel good. You want to feel good as a caregiver, that you're doing the right things. And you find if you can look back in your head and say, did I do the very best I could? Probably not at the beginning, but when I finally got to the point where I was doing things the way I'm suggesting here, I feel like the last 5 years of our journey, I really in my heart know I did the very best I could and treated him with all the due respect he deserved. And that makes me feel good after my journey's over.
Does it burden you initially when you have to take decisions on behalf of them?
Yes, of course it does. And I would say that is a very difficult part of the journey when you start realizing you want to include them as much as they can. But remember, 81% of people don't know they have dementia. So maybe you're lucky and you're one of the 20% who does, but assuming you're in that 81%, you're having to make a lot of decisions. They go through an aggressive phase. Do you put them on a sedative or not? Do you lock them in the house because they're wandering? So do you put deadbolts on your door so they can't get out? These all sound horrific, but they're decisions you have to make for their safety or for their well-being or to help them have the best life they can. Can you have them just be angry and mad all the time? That's not fair to them any more than it's fair to you. Remember, you're caregiving for you too. Those are difficult decisions. If you can find a care partner, either an adult child that is part of the family or a sibling of yours or someone else that you feel like can help you if it's a difficult decision, confirm or at least bounce the ideas off, that really helps you get the confidence you need to make decisions, some of them very difficult, on behalf of the two of you. And you really need that because some of them are very difficult decisions, and they're at whether to put them in memory care. If you can afford to put them in a care community, do you put them in memory care? Or do you keep them at home? That's a hard decision. And, you know, you don't want to, and you're going to feel guilty probably either way. So, you know, but having someone else involved really that you can bounce ideas off of is probably a good idea.
We are towards the end of this episode, and I would like to ask you the three questions as a takeaway. How can caregivers navigate themselves better in times of isolation or burnout?
Yes, an absolutely common problem. And try not to wait until you're in a breakdown before you start self-care. So the best thing you can do is hopefully not get to that point by recognizing up front that you are caring for two people, yourself and the other person, equally. If you do get to that point, go see somebody, go on an online support group, call a friend. I recently had someone on an online support group who I started chatting with about something, and I said, stop. You right now, you need to go call a friend. Stop on this online support group and go call a friend. And he was like, you're right, I need to do that. So just get support for yourself.
What tools or resources you still think it's lacking, whether it might be in dementia or in the caregiver part?
More training for what to expect. Right now, our podcast is almost the best training I've found that's wrong. Two people who started a not-for-profit to help caregivers with training. So more training, I think, for caregivers who are specifically caring for certain types of challenges, this one being dementia, I think would be huge.
What do you think or wish for that as a society as a whole, understand more about dementia and its caregivers of the journey they would have had or they will be having?
Yes, I think some of it is understanding the person with dementia better. There's a lot of initiatives in different cities that is called dementia-friendly restaurants or dementia-friendly doctor's offices, because most people don't understand what's happening. Of course, when the time comes and 42% of people have it, I guess we're all going to understand it pretty well. But right now, there are initiatives in different places to try to create dementia-friendly restaurants where waiters understand someone has dementia, certain times of the day that you can go, to make it easier for the care receiver and the caregiver both to get out of the house and go do something. So more of that kind of thing, I think, would be helpful as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Nancy, for sharing your journey and your insights into this not so talked about topic.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Discovering Journeys. I would love for this podcast to reach as many people as possible, so please remember to subscribe, rate, and leave a positive review. Share this podcast with someone you think who would appreciate this conversation. Check out the show notes for all the links and details. Until next time, keep embracing your journey and discovering new paths.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.